another episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the Horror Show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the Horror Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show. The show dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Hello, Joe.
What's going on?
Nothing. We just came off a heater of a fucking Patreon episode that I kind of threw together last minute of ranking our favorite Christmas specials and movies from God tier to shit tier. With three things in between. It's exciting. It was a fun... It's fun to go through those movies, man. They all have... Because you've seen all of them, right? Like, you could go through... Like, if we did, like, best horror movies, we'd all have, like, shit on the list that the other one doesn't know, or, like... You know what I mean? And in these Christmas specials, it's like, you know almost all of them. Like...
Yeah.
By heart, almost. So it was a cool... Very cool thing to do right there. And then
you left out Prancer, though. I'm a little disappointed.
What the fuck is Prancer?
Remember the girl finds a reindeer, like fell down her chimney or some shit? Or it might have just fell down in her yard, but she thinks it's Prancer.
I mean, listen, there's a lot left out of it. I mean, Hallmark puts out 47 a year.
Prancer sucks.
Fucking.
It was a joke.
And, I mean, which is worse, though, Prancer or the Ginger Dead Man?
It's your old God, the fucking Ginger Dead Man.
Oh, poor Ginger Dead Man. A Full Moon feature we got here. Full Moon is so fucking weird. So, this movie came out in 2005. I don't want to say that's... No. I don't want to say that's their heyday, but I feel like... It wasn't their heyday, obviously.
No, because Puppet Master.
That was heyday. Probably their heyday, right? So 88 to 95 was like Full Moon Productions. So that's probably the heyday right there. Yeah. But Ginger Dead Man, I remember vividly it coming out and it kind of being a resurgence for them. And maybe I'm misremembering this, but I remember Ginger Dead Man coming out and it was kind of like a hokey, like, oh shit, like, why are they making this thing? And then it became their entire fucking personality.
They made the fucking 19 sequels to it.
Dude, Ginger Dead Man and the fucking Evil Bong. Yeah, the fucking, what are we fucking? It turned into their entire fucking thing. Which,
Charles Band must be embezzling money, right? Like, you know how in Breaking Bad they set up the car wash just so they can money launder, right? That's what Charles Band is doing, because he's not... Why are you making this many movies like this? There has to be some other reason.
I need to pull up a list of all Full Moon movies. No, it's very odd because, and you know, because of the length of these, as we mentioned, we've done two Passion of the Crust. Because of the amount of sequels, I kind of thought that the first one might be a fucking secret heater. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because, like,
there's logic.
What? Yeah. Dude, if you asked anyone, like, hey, this movie spawned 19 sequels, they'd be like, how do you think the first one did? You'd be like, fucking great. Must have done fucking amazing. And they just rode the coattails. That is, in my opinion, not the case.
That should be everybody's opinion. I have been very lenient lately, and I have been very open, and I have been enjoying life watching these movies. I can't think of anything positive to say about The Ginger Dead Man. I want to share a quote. The horror movie website Bloody Good Horror said that this is one of the shortest yet hardest to watch films I have ever seen. That is when I saw it was 70 minutes, I was like, perfect. Like, we're going to get Gary Busey. We're going to get, like, over the top bullshit. And it, like, it'll go by fast, right? It was a chore. Gary Busey is in it for 3 seconds. The Ginger Dead Man is in it for like 5 seconds. And you have, dude, they What are they doing? They have so many subplots that they are trying to cram into this. Like, it's the movie's called Ginger Dead Man, right? It should just be the Child's Play knockoff that it was trying to be, right?
Yeah.
They have one of the characters being like a wrestler on the side. They have a storyline about the bakery being bought out by another company in the same plaza. They have a storyline about rivalry between two girls. They have a storyline about the girl and the guy knowing each other in the past and having like a love interest. What the fuck are you doing? And 90% of this is just them talking. I hate the Ginger Dead Man.
It is crazy. It is a crazy fucking movie. It was written by William Butler. Now, William Butler is known as an actor for a lot of things. Ghoulies 2, Friday the 13th, Part 7. You got Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. He's in Buried Alive. He's in Night of the Living Dead remake. He's in Spellcasters, and that's about it. And he directed not great movies prior to this. Speaking of Christmas movies, he did make Three Bears Christmas in 2019, which...
sure, no it's one great.
Fucking knows about. And he wrote all three Ginger Dead Mans. Very weird choice here. But you will know him. If you look him up, his face as an actor, you'll know him. He's been in a bunch of horror films. It was bizarre. And what was one of the most bizarre things in this, as you mentioned, Gary Busey is the star. I don't need to run down any other actor in this movie. I don't think there's a purpose to doing that. They likely did not work after this. I did like that one of their names was Ryan Lochte. Like, it looks like the fucking swimmer's name. It's not the swimmer though.
Mom is she's an established actress.
Is she?
She was Michael Caine's girlfriend in the original Italian Job. So there's that.
That is such a fucking Paul fact. It like fucking hurt my fucking head.
Margaret Bly is her name.
Yeah, all of you guys that know her in the Italian Job. We all remember her fondly. The Ginger Dead Man list of movies. So I'm pulling it up right now. Oh, well, I was going to say Gary Busey. You know, that's who they're like peddling this as. And Gary Busey is in it for so short. And then he did not do that Gingerbread Man's voice, except for like a few lines that it sounds like they ripped from like scenes they cut.
Okay. I was going to ask you, because I was trying to look up, because there are times when he's like laughing and stuff, and that is not Gary Busey. Like, no. That's not him making those noises. But then there are times where he's like, hey there, Buster. Like, that's Gary Busey talking. Like,
for sure.
What the fuck?
For sure. I think they just took out shit that he said from cut scenes and used the audio, but it's only in like two or three scenes where like it'll cut and it's Gary Busey, and you can tell because like it's a different audio quality too.
Yes.
from the other actor. So
it's like when Insane Clown Posse paid Old Dirty Bastard to record a verse, and he just sent them like a drunken rant, so they cut all his words and tried to make it into like a rhyming verse.
Fucking crazy, dude. So let's see. We got Ginger Dead Man in 2005. Evil Bong in 2006. Dude, the amount of movies he puts out a fucking year is insane, by the way. It's actually like alarming. I did not expect to see this. 2006. Then we go to Ginger Dead Man 2, Passion of the Crust, which also goes by another name. And because at the end of this, Amazon was like, next up, Ginger Dead Man 2, Bakery of Blood. And I was like, dude, please tell me that there's two Ginger Dead Man 2s, like two different ones. But it's just a different name for Passion of the Crust. So I don't know why they're out like that. So yeah, Evil Bong, Ginger Dead Man 2, Passion of the Crust. Evil Bong 2, King, King Bong. they then like rebooted Demonic Toys also. I think that comes into play. Evil Bong 3D, The Wrath of Bong. You know what? I think I'm too hard on these guys.
You're not. Think about what we just watched.
Ginger Dead Man 3, Saturday Night Cleaver.
Okay. That's good. Okay. I'll give him that one.
Very topical. 2011.
Kids love film. Danny Zuko, whatever his name is.
What do we have after that? Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong in 2013. So they've almost gotten 10 years. They've almost gone 10 years, and the cover is Ginger Dead Man riding a bong that just has, it appears to be the Ginger Dead Man's face, which I'm pretty sure that's what it is. They just used his face. Yeah, Evil Bong 420, starring none other than Tommy Chong, fucking the star of that, which I'm sure is maybe 3 minutes, like Gary.
Yeah.
Evil Bong High Five, which appears to be the same cover as 420, unless this is just incorrect. Evil Bong 666, Evil Bong 777. the ginger weed man in 2021.
Clever. Nice play on words.
Evil Bong 888, infinity high.
888.
And that's it. That's where we've left off there. They also started a, it appears they started a franchise called Baby Oopsie, which is, I think might be one of the demonic toys. And it appears they made a sequel to Sorority Babes in the Slime Bowl Bolarama in 2022. So fucking exhausting. And by the way, this isn't even a, I'd say this is like 10% of the movies they made in that period. There's hundreds of movies on this fucking list. Full Moon is a fucking disaster. And you know what's so funny? I feel like they're West Coast's trauma. Because I feel like we have listeners on the West Coast that like Full Moon a lot.
Devin subscribes to, like, or he did at one point. Because remember when we did Head of the Family?
Yes.
He was like, oh, yeah, I have a, I remember him talking about having a subscription to that.
Correct. He does have a subscription. I think it is a West Coast, East Coast thing. Because, I mean, I think I like Troma in the same way they probably like Full Moon. And, you know, Full Moon, like, what's the guy's name that owns it again? I'm sorry.
Charles Band.
Charles Band. I feel like he's like old Hollywood, right? Like, wasn't his dad in Hollywood too? So he's kind of like, he's just like been around, right? Like, he'll just like always be there. So I think like he's just like this West Coast guy. And we have Lloyd, which I'm thankful for. I'm very thankful to have Lloyd. At least somebody that fucking feels like he's being an artist. I don't, Charles Band does not give a fuck. Charles Band is just
No, that's a fact. That's a fact. Like, look at Toxic Avenger compared to anything Band Productions has put out, except for Castle Freak. You gotta give him Castle Freak.
Well, and the Puppet Master
struck gold.
Puppet Master.
Well.
And I do love Dollman. I love Dollman, and I love the demonic toys from the original ones. I know it's crazy, and Dollman versus the demonic toys is a fucking low key fucking.
Are we sure? Let's do this. Let's do a serial killer. A Charles Band first era serial killer.
Okay, all right, yeah. Charles Band first era. I'm down with that. I'm down.
You thought you were like Charles Band.
I was like, Joe, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
The show would implode. I'll never record again.
That would be so fucking funny. Yeah, no, Charles. We could do that, like a Full Moon eras. We could do eras of Full Moon. And never watch a Full Moon movie again. I'm also very okay with that. That would be great for me, actually. The Puppet Master, they did like a requel type movie recently. I think it was like 2008.
I saw that. Yeah.
That was fucking good. That was actually fucking good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Full Moon was involved. I don't think they were.
Well, that would certainly explain it. But whoever was involved somehow pulled it off.
Because Thomas Lennon is in that. Right.
Okay.
And so I think that, like, the comedian, it's not listed at. Is that the Littlest Reich?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I can't get into this because we've got the Ginger Movement to talk about.
I mean, do we?
No. So Gary Busey's not in it. The movie opens with this. The movie opens with just like as the movie had started fucking 15 minutes prior and we all missed it. We walked in 15 minutes late.
Dude, thank you. I thought the same thing. And I'm going to say something again in about 5 minutes. But yes, it starts in the middle of a heist.
Dude, starts in the middle of a heist where Gary Busey just shoots some guy dead. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? Why did that? We don't know what Gary Busey is, what he's doing, why he's doing it. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, what the none of this actually matters. For a movie that has so much talking, they explain nothing about anything that happens in this movie. And that is true. And you can't tell me otherwise. Because nothing about the Ginger Dead Man existing in this movie is even remotely discussed for even like a brief second. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen this formula. Serial killer or a crook or whatever, child's play, is committing a crime, either gets executed or does something, and his soul is put into something else, whether it be a person or a doll or fucking whatever, and then that thing is now a killer, right?
Yes.
We've seen this. There's a bunch of movies like it. They all kind of explain it, even to that extent. Like, hey, this guy was a killer, and he was so vicious. What's the one with the electricity? The guy that gets the electric chair. It's like similar to Shocker's like that, right? Doesn't he, yes. like the electricity? He's so fucking, they're so fucking angry that their fucking souls, like, take over something else, you know? That's, like, not even the case in this. This is not even that. This is Gary Busey. So he's committing a robbery. He kills a kid. Then he kills another kid. And these are actually children, FYI.
One's the dad.
One's the son.
And one's the son. And the son, he's actually given like six chances by Busey. Because Busey's like, just stop telling me to put the gun down. And the kid's like, put the gun down. You have to hear him say that. Six times in a row. Guess what? Gary Busey does put the gun down and then proceeds to stab this kid with what appears to be a pair of tweezers. Like, dude, that would just he's stabbing him in the back. Like, maybe if he stabbed him in the neck, you could be like, okay, it pierced like his jugular caught an artery. Like, maybe you did something. He is stabbing him in the back with the smallest blade I have ever seen, which would do nothing more to just like, you know, annoy you. Like it'll hurt, but it's not going to kill you. He drops dead after like three stabs with this.
on the scene. Dude, it wouldn't even get through your lats before. Like, it like it's not piercing anything.
It's not hitting any internal organ, which it would have to kill you from where he's stabbing you. It does not.
Dude, and that is not an exaggeration. He says it six times. He's not even saying, but he keeps saying, put your gun down, please. Please. He's saying please every time. And Gary Busey's just like, please stop saying that. And that knife is insanely small. And it made me think of that time that that fucking concert venue made you go back for your pocket knife, that tiny little pocket knife. I was like, well, see, now they've got a case. They've got a case. Because apparently you could murder somebody.
That security guard watched Ginger Dead Man before the show.
He was like,
No, I've seen this movie before. Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. Goof. Kill somebody with that thing.
It is not even a pocket knife. It's a keychain pocket knife that Tina got me on our wedding day. And it has my initials engraved in it. And it has like tweezer and like, you know, like useful things that I have used. But like the knife part of it, like you couldn't even cut a shoelace with it. And the guy's like, no way, buddy. He's like, I'm throwing that out. No, you're not. He's like, then you're bringing it back to your car. So I had to walk all the way fucking back to my car. Missed the opening act. Like, Jesus.
Oh, my God. It's fucking nuts. So Busey does that. And then Busey's, like, saying fucking Busey shit. By the way, is Busey... Is Busey... I couldn't remember, and I didn't care to look it up. Is Busey in the doghouse these days? I feel like... In the age of social media in 2022, Gary Busey's probably... Is Gary Busey alive?
Yeah, I think he was just... Would you say, is he alive?
Yeah, is he alive?
No, he's alive. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I feel like he was in the news because he was at Chiller Theater. It's Chiller Theater in New Jersey, and I guess he was being inappropriate. I don't know the extent of the accusations. He's severely brain damaged. I know that much. I mean, look at him in this role. Like, well, his eye doesn't open all the way. I don't know why I'm laughing at that. The guy got traumatic brain injury.
I mean, it's so weird too, because there was that period in like the 2000s where, for whatever reason, media, I shouldn't say for whatever reason, it's fucking psychotic. And everyone knows about this shit, 'cause it's like the same shit they did to Britney Spears and shit, where it's like, and it was so funny, because like, we're like, paparazzi. Nah, dude. Like, mainstream media was like fucking ruining people's lives with this shit. And not only ruining it, but like fucking, what do they call it? Exploiting some of these people. Like, fucking Charlie Sheen being a drug addict and getting on the news every night and like getting a fucking comedy tour out of it, out of being like sick. You know what I mean? Like, being like an addict. But like, everyone was like, that's so fucking hilarious. Fucking hashtag winning. And like, Busey had that moment too, where it was like, dude, Busey had the same moment in the 2000s where it was like, isn't this so fucking funny? Like, let's bring out Busey on The Apprentice or whatever the fuck that show was. And like, he was on all those fucking reality shows. And it was like, you knew what they were doing.
Here, click that link I just sent you in the chat.
Okay, so I'll pull it up for our video.
It's justified.
I'll pull it up for our video viewers. That's not even a person's face. It's not a human face, Joe.
Wait, hold on. Great podcasting, as always. Laughing at
classic video gags bits. Well, we do have a video podcast now. And speaking of that, why don't you head on over to patreon.com/IHateHorror if you want to check out all of these fucking great visual bits that we're doing on the show here.
And this is a song. Just look at the fucking picture. Oh. Wait. His eyes are bleeding.
Oh, poor Gary Busey. Well, he was exploited. the man's not well, you know? He's not well. Why are we carting these guys around? Where were we, though? Oh, the fucking first scene. We haven't gotten out of the first scene yet, So he kills the brother, he kills the father, and then the daughter survives. He's saying weird shit, like, probably off the cuff, being like, I smell something feminine. I honestly had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. And then I realized, I think he was talking about the girl, who he doesn't kill because, I don't know why. It's something about his mom. He's like, mom told me to, I don't even know. But it was a weird angle. He doesn't kill her. He shoots, though, and runs away.
Sorry, I'm actually reading about Busey right now. Dude, he was charged with sexual assault and touching inappropriately at the Monster Mania this past August.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, I know.
Was it like a fan, or was it like a – it's not another celebrity.
I don't know. I'm not reading that much into it. I'm honestly just reading headlines.
That's fucking crazy.
Anyway, sorry.
I mean, it's not. Is it crazy or is it not?
It's not crazy.
It's not crazy. Okay. Like, lock that guy up.
I know you're saying he's not well, but he should be locked up. Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. Don't let him out.
Okay. Right, then
I'm saying stop carting this fucking guy around. Stop putting him on fucking TV.
Then I agree. Yes.
Same with Charlie Sheen, right? Like, why were we like, look at this fucking guy. Get it?
Okay. I get your point now. Because, yeah, why did Charlie Sheen have his own winning tour? Because he's not a stand-up comedian.
He was being a piece of shit. He was being like a grade A piece of shit. Like, legitimately. And everyone knew he was a piece of shit prior to this, all of this, by the way, too. So, like,
that's true.
Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we carting this guy around and like giving him airtime? And like these guys are fucking disasters. Like, let him go get the fuck out of here. Anyway, Busey saves this gal. He does not. He actually makes a point of even saying weirdly in this movie where he's like, "I'm not gonna fucking assault you," and she was like, "Okay." Oh, she was like, "Okay." Good to know. But then yeah, he's got this.
This is where he's like, "I'm gonna do right by my mother," and then he points the gun at her anyways, and it's
about he shoots her. At her and then runs away. You're actually unsure if he shot her or not, but he didn't. She survived, unfortunately. My favorite thing was when he said, "Oh shit!" when he hears the cops outside. Oh shit!
Like, it's surprising that they would be showing up. Active crime scene.
So girl survives and we get our title card and our insanely long credits.
Do we get our title card, Sean? This one, I know we have talked about long opening credits before. This has to be the longest. I don't daydream. I honestly focus pretty well most of the time, and I found myself like just thinking about things like I had no business thinking about, and then being like, "Oh wait, I'm watching a movie," and then I was like, "Wait, is this still playing the fucking titles? What just happened to me?" Like, I never had an experience like that.
Yeah, and there's still credits at the end somehow, which is wild. But they front loaded those credits for sure. Boy, I'll tell you that much. And yeah, we have talked about longer credit scenes, but they were like theatrical releases, so probably. With all due respect, those actors deserved it. This is insane. This is insane. How many people were even on the fucking production of this fucking thing? Probably listed like seven of them. Like, that's probably it. But we go back to this. That took place in a diner. We're not at a diner, though. We're at a bakery, which might still be the setting of the beginning. I don't know. It's hard to say. It is the same girl that got shot at the beginning. It's 2 years later. I don't think she looks the same and might not be the same person. I don't know.
That's her. That's her. Yes.
And she's mourning the loss of her brother. Happy birthday, big brother. Wherever you are up there, I hope they have strippers and Lone Star.
And not the only time that she'll bring up how much this guy loves strippers. It's her only memory of her brother.
Constantly. Like, every time somebody's like, "Oh, it's your brother," she's like, "Yeah, it was his birthday. He wanted to go see his strippers." What? She says, "We were supposed to go to the strip club." What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? Fucking insane. So her brother and her dad are the ones that died. And we also see some newspapers telling us that Busey was executed.
Dude, that's the funniest part to me, because you brought up Shocker before. So I was expecting a Child's Play or a Shocker-esque story where this guy killed loved ones of the main character. We know this. So we should see their demise. They should either be killed in by the police or by them, or if they're going to be, executed, we should see that. And then they should put a curse on the family. This girl talked to the cops and got me in trouble, blah blah blah. We don't see that. We find out because, like you're saying, the girl picks up a newspaper and she's like, this guy who killed your family, she's so specific about it, this guy who killed your family, he's finally been executed, blah blah.
Dude, that was actually my favorite part, because we already saw the clippings earlier than that, but then this girl's like, "Hey, thank god they fucking killed that guy, am I right?" What? And telling the person that would most definitely know. Like, I think she even says, "Like, did you see they killed what?" Her family's fucking,
especially family. Since while she's talking about her brother and his love for strippers, she's like mentioning, she's like, "I can't believe Findlemeyer did this to you." And it's she should be following the case. Like, this, she should not find out because her coworker found the newspaper and read it out loud.
Choosing the name Findlemeyer for this fucking guy.
Sean, thank you.
An all-time insane choice. Because I didn't even know what they were saying for so long.
Naming your killer Millard Findlemeyer in Ginger Dead Man. Like, what are you doing?
Joe, I was so confused at what the names they kept saying when they were saying it. I was like, who the fuck are they talking about? Like, and then I thought Miller was the last name, of course. And like, what are we? There was Miller
Findlemeyer. That's a great villain name. Fucking idiots.
Rolls off the tongue. Well, we jump right into this. She gets a package delivered to the door and it says Grandma's gingerbread seasoning. This is dropped off by a figure in a cloak that we see running away. So you're like, oh, okay, good. Okay, so this guy, whoever this person is, by the way, Gary Busey was just executed. How did she have clippings of it already hanging up on the wall? When that girl's got a newspaper, I was like, did you see the news? she gets a package with this cloak figure that drops it off. So in my head, I'm like, okay, cool. She's going to deliver something with Busey in it. Or the ginger dead man. I don't know. This cloaked figure, though, is for sure evil, right? And it is gingerbread seasoning, which I don't know if that's an actual thing or not. Like, seasoning doesn't... I feel like that's not a thing, seasoning. See, you don't season cookies, to my knowledge, but I might be wrong. And I also love... Like, we mentioned that, like, why did they... Why is this not a Christmas movie or, like, around Christmas because of the gingerbread aspect? Also, why does it take place in Texas?
Waco, Texas. I don't know.
What a choice. The gingerbread capital of the world, old Waco, Texas. From there, we meet another baker who, as Joe mentioned, is also a professional wrestler or wants to be a professional wrestler or dreams of being a professional wrestler. I'm unsure.
He's wrestling. It's a side gig.
He's a side
gig. I'm trying to think of a term for it. I don't know. I'm a little drunk.
Yeah. I
want to go back for a second. When she announces that he's the one that says it. He gets cremated. Busey's character, Findlemeyer, gets cremated and gets sent to his mother, who is also a witch. And she is the cloaked figure.
Somebody says all this? Somebody says something?
Yeah, she's the cloaked figure who drops it off.
I take back all my criticism.
That is why we get that.
But that is also fucking insane. Like, because what is her fucking deal? Why does she want... Why would she want that to happen? And also, wait, and again, like, this is like the other part of this whole movie, because that's great. Again, let's even... That's fine. His mom takes his remains... drops him off so he could finish the fucking job, which doesn't really make sense because he was like, my mom wouldn't want me to kill a woman. But hey,
that's a great point.
But hey, listen, whatever. I'll fucking ignore it. Let's move on. I'm fine with that. But what if she dropped off the fucking gingerbread dough or the gingerbread cookie with his ashes in it? I'm fine with it. What it takes to make the ginger dead man is... fucking nuts, because they have to use the spice, which they do from an unknown source, which you would not fucking do. If you got a fucking bag of gingerbread seasoning, you'd be like, I'm fucking throwing this away. Like, I did not order this. This is fucking weird. And also, it looks like ashes. It doesn't look like gingerbread seasoning. Looks like human fucking remains.
Actually, you're making a great point, because they have to use the material. And they also have to use human blood.
They have to use human blood. And Joe, if you might not recall, it also has to be like electrified, which happens because of like a power shortage.
Because they're fighting and bump into the circuit breaker.
It takes so much work.
Just baking him but not bringing him alive. And it needs the blood. Oh my God. That's
Busey's mom was counting on a lot to happen by dropping off just the seasoning. So even if you left it there at that, I would be fine. But it's everything else that you have to do to create this fucking thing that is nuts. That is nuts. Like, why did you have to add all those extra fucking steps? Anyway, so as you mentioned, the nerdy baker that we just mentioned, who's also a wrestler, he cuts himself somehow and leaks the blood into the fucking seasoning, which the Gary Busey's mom was, I guess, hoping would eventually happen to the seasoning. And he continues to pretend that he's this wrestler named Butcher Baker. It's fucking exhausting. Good news is he's gone and we won't see him till the end of the movie for whatever reason. Hey, cut to an old woman who works at the diner or the bakery, and it's actually her mother.
The mother, yes.
A character that we did not know existed until this moment, and we're supposed to give a fuck that she is now an alcoholic because the baking business is not doing so great and her family's dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of understandable.
Well, you know what's not understandable? There's a sign next door because they're putting up a competing bakery, I guess, in town. A big corporate bakery. She's not trying to shoot the building. She's shooting a gun. She's trying to shoot the sign off the fucking wall. And
with a shotgun.
With a shotgun. And succeeds. It literally just takes the pins out of the fucking giant banner across the store. And the guy that owns the restaurant shows up and he is furious. Not that there's bullet holes in the side of his building, but that the fucking poster's down.
Yes. Old Jimmy.
The girl's like, I'll put it back up. He's like, it's the fucking vandalism. It's more than vandalism, motherfucker. That guy is shooting guns.
It's assault. It's
fucking crazy. He's so mad about that banner being down though. So the bakery's in trouble. Dad and brother are dead. Dorky guy goes to his wrestling event. And we watch our lead character, whose name is Sarah. We watch Sarah rolling out the dough in real time. We watch her make this fucking gingerbread man totally in real time. And we see the most horrifying image of the ginger dead man. It's the most appalling looking thing. Which is so bizarre because he's not fucking the ginger dead man yet.
Right.
But he's got this fucking horrifying fucking face.
Yeah. Like pareidolia. It's very human looking.
It's so nuts. Meanwhile, while that's going on, the restaurant owner's daughter shows up. I don't know her name. Lorna? Betty? I don't know. She shows up. And she's putting rats in their kitchen to shut down.
Yeah, it's Lorna. Betty's the mom. Betty's the mom.
Lorna's putting rats in the bakery's kitchen, which you don't need to do because they're already about to shut down. And Sarah catches her and is like, you piece of shit, trying to shut down the fucking bakery. You're trying to get the health inspector. She puts one rat in the fucking bakery.
And by the way, that fought red-handed. You just be like, hey, health inspector, this girl's putting rats here.
That rat stays on that tray for the next 45 minutes, too. So.
It does, because the ginger dead man talks shit to it. And the
ginger dead man has a whole bit with it. It's a shining moment. It's the most he's on screen.
It is the most he talks. Like, hey, fucking rat, you fucking idiot.
Fucking doing a Don Rickles routine to a rat. An actual rat.
I hate this movie.
This movie sucks. So the restaurant owner, and then they get into a food fight. Lorna and Sarah get into a food fight. Well, after she
smashes a pie into her face. But, yeah. Dude, I think this might be the most realistic fight in movie history, because it's just two fucking idiots like rolling around and like not landing anything and just like flailing about. Like, I honestly think it's the most realistic fight I've ever seen.
When you watch two people that don't know how to fight, this is what it looks like. It's exactly. Crazy. It's exactly like it. It's fucking nuts. It's I've seen this fight happen at Eastern several times. It's fucking unreal. While they're fighting, they accidentally bump into the breaker. As Joe mentioned, those ginger dead men, that gingerbread dough in the oven, it short circuits the oven, electrifies the oven, and makes the ginger dead man come alive.
Dude, you watch the line of electricity. It's obviously like fluorescent blue. It goes down into the oven, but then goes back up again. And then we have to watch it go back down before the ginger dead man comes to life.
Yeah, it's the hit him twice. why would they even do that?
because that's what they spent all their money on. So like, we better show it twice.
You ever like edit? You like mess with like some type of program you've never used before, and it, like you kind of get the result you want, but then it does like this extra thing, and you're like, "Fuck it, it looks fine. Like just leave it." I feel like that's what happened. I feel like they did it, and then it went back up and went back down, and they were like, "I don't know if I like mess with it, it might get rid of the whole fucking thing. So why don't we just fucking leave it?" They're like, "Yeah, fine."
Makes sense.
The restaurant owner's daughter. I thought this was her brother, but it's not. This guy in the Janko shorts that shows up.
Her brother's dead. This is Lorna's boyfriend.
No, I was saying I thought it was Lorna's brother.
Oh, okay. No. That's
but it's not. It's her boyfriend. Because she's like, yeah, fuck him. You can fuck him too. And Sarah's like not disgusted by that fact. She's like, okay. Yeah,
is it... His name is Amos Cadbury. People naming the characters in this
fucking unreal. Unreal. If I were the state of Texas, I would not allow these fucking people to film
it. Yeah, Charles Band would be banned.
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking that's your Texas name that you come up with, Amos Cadbury. The fuck out of here. Anyway,
yeah, these two girls are beating the shit out of each other and just smashed the breaker and called the ginger dead man to come to life, which they don't know yet. But Amos shows up because he's just tired of waiting outside for his girlfriend.
And immediately sees Sarah and is like fucking all over her.
Well, to be fair, he's like, what's going on here? And it's just fucking chaos. And they all have food all over him and stuff. And she's like, and Sarah's like, hey, your girlfriend brought a rat into my establishment. And Amos like, oh, no.
He's like, you said you were just going to drop off a note.
You'd see that the rat was huge. The rat was huge. She didn't have a cage for it.
She was like, I wrote the note on a rat. Well, guess what? They let the ginger dead man out. They open the door and the ginger dead man runs out because they're like, I'm burning the cookies. The ginger dead man runs out and immediately is like, I ain't the Pillsbury Doughboy, and like runs away. But that's all we get. That's all we get from him. And they're immediately like, they immediately work together, but they're also very like, Amos is like, well, you're trying to tell me a cookie's a lie? Which, by the way, no one would come to that conclusion this early. But like, I think Sarah's like, I think the cookie's alive. And Amos is like, get the fuck out of here. You're fucking crazy. His tune will change so quickly, and he'll believe literally anything. Short in like 3 minutes, he'll just start believing everything. Because he says, this black magic shit isn't real. What?
Well, Lorna turns into a mangle expert here.
Does she? Oh.
Yeah, because, well, you're right. He changes his tune because he's like, that can't be alive. And then he's like, I think you were intentionally doing this. And Lorna's like, hey, reminds me of this time that I had a Ouija board. And she tells like the longest story of all time about evil spirits and how they communicate and how black magic can make things come to life.
And then she even, I think, specifically is like, hey, and also remember that guy that killed your family is dead now? And they're like, oh, yes, that is true. Their phones... You know, this is the cell phone age, so they have to write that into the story. She pulls out her phone, and it dies while she's trying to call her dad and not the police, which is great. Also, this cast will enter and leave this building constantly, but pretend that they cannot leave the building. They regularly go out to their cars. They go out and see shit outside. But then come back in and then are like, how are we going to get the fuck out of here? It's alarming. It's also alarming.
Worth noting, the ginger dead man is not a threat at any point until he transfers his soul.
No, yeah, he's nothing. Mom is drinking and chasing rats. She thinks she's hallucinating because she's the first one to see the ginger dead man. And she reaches out a finger to the camera, like kind of like straight to the camera. And the ginger dead man says, ever try a lady finger? Cuts off her finger.
Solid cookie joke.
And again, these are wounds that do not kill people. And like the mom is out of commission. We're done. We're done with the mom.
She's like laying, for some reason, there's like a coffin nearby. She's like laying in it.
Just waiting to be buried. It's so crazy. I don't know why I have this is written like insane. This is like the weirdest note I have here. But it is revealed that it is Busey. They start thinking that it is Busey. And again, you'll hear Busey's voice here where he's like, "Don't you recognize my voice?" And it's Busey. But that's it. That's it until like a little bit later, and they'll use another clip. And you're like, are these even like, where did these come from? Like, it's so bizarre. One of the other girls comes to help everyone. It was the girl with the newspaper at the beginning who has like this weird, very short arc here. And the ginger dead man knocks her out with a pan.
Yes.
We don't know what her fate is. And they leave again, like they leave the building, they go in and out because Amos goes outside to his car and gets a gun. He doesn't leave with everyone in his car. He grabs a gun and comes back to the fucking building, which they don't know what they're fighting, really. Like, they haven't seen the gingerbread man yet.
Well, they think he exists, and Lorna right. saw the face in the bake.
Oh,
in
that's the right. Oven. Lorna, that's right. Lorna does. Lorna, right. So we're taking Lorna's word for it. So they're trying to fit in this complicated love story now with Amos and fucking Lorna and Sarah. And Amos and him, it's just a 70-minute movie. Like, you don't need this. This could be real cut and dry, and you could get away with it. And they refused. They were just like, no, we're going to.
Should have just been a killer gingerbread man.
Hey, you had all, it's all you had to do, man. Meanwhile, Lorna's dad shows up, the guy that owns the place next door. He gets run over.
By the ginger dead man.
Who is now outside and driving and using a rolling pin to gas pedal.
Honestly, I don't have many positive things to say, yeah. But there's other movies of this caliber that would just have him driving a car. At least they put the effort to explain how he was touching the gas pedal.
Thank goodness. The one question I had, how would the ginger dead man operate a vehicle? Thank God they answered it. I think you watch him shift somehow with his fucking little gingerbread hand. I only remember because the hand was like grotesquely like weird.
I can't stress enough how stupid the ginger dead man's face looks.
That I agree with. Like, it sucks. It fucking sucks. It's not good. It's not iconic. It's a shitty fucking monster design. Period. End of story. I hated it so much. So the dad is the other dad is dead. He's gone. The kids see some, I think like powdered sugar or frosting footprints, and they follow them into the freezer where that one gal from the beginning who read the newspaper is frozen and covered in icing with two little cherries for nipples on her breasts. Yes. You would think she's naked. She actually is not. She's fully clothed, as we'll find out later. Which is great. Next is... Okay. So Amos... This is where Amos gets a little weird, where he's like, it's not a fucking gingerbread man. Like, that's what he was... He was like, what are you guys, fucking crazy? It's not a gingerbread man. Somebody's doing this to us. But then, not only does he believe it, he's like... Who the fuck is in that gingerbread man's body? Like, not only do they think that there's a gingerbread man alive, but now you have to jump to the conclusion that your family's murderer, his soul has entered the fucking gingerbread man.
Yes.
On top of coming to terms that there's a gingerbread man alive, you have to come to terms that also it's the soul of a madman who wants to fucking killed your family. I don't think he really wants to kill you, but that's okay. This guy puts it together by himself, though. It's fucking amazing. And he breaks it down like, the guy who killed your brother and got the electric chair has come back and is inside a cookie. And you think he's going to be like, you're fucking dumb. And she's like, yes. And he's like, holy fucking shit. He's like, I don't know what to say. This is horrible. Like, this is the worst news I ever got. Well, Lorna goes outside, finds her dead dad, and just begins wandering around for no reason. And the ginger dead man catches her and says, how about a facial? And cuts her fucking face. Like, not that badly, though. Just kind of a slash across the face. Very
surprising. That's Busey's, what was his name? Fartleroy? That's his,
Bartleby.
That's his MO. Yeah, that's his MO.
That's his MO. And then we get the bit with the rat where he's like, hey, you little shit. Fuck off, you little rat. I'll kick your little rat ass. For several minutes, just doing a bit with a rat. Lorna leaves. She's like, I'm done. I'm going to fucking get the fuck out of here. But Ginger Dead Man has now created Home Alone-esque traps.
That is, that's an exaggeration.
Well, he ties a rope.
He has tripwire. If you are fooled by that tripwire, you deserve any fate that you get. That is the
3-inch rope.
Dude, I've never seen a rope that thick in my entire life. It's like what you would tie a large vessel to a dock with, right?
It's so true.
It just somehow strips over. Dude,
like, you see like threads coming out of it. It's like actually like fucking alarming. Like, it's fucking crazy. And she trips over it, and somehow this plunges a Bowie knife into her fucking skull.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Also, that girl in the icing that we talked about, she's not dead. She's alive, yes. I think. But she's on the floor twitching. So we're unsure. Is she going to make it or not? But appears she's fine.
She will, yeah.
Yeah.
Just as frosting on her.
Turns out that's the case for most of the characters in this movie, as we'll find out. So they're trying to call out the Ginger Dead Man. They're trying to figure out how to leave, which shouldn't be that fucking hard because they keep leaving the fucking building regularly. And it's a cookie. So just fucking run. And the Ginger Dead Man starts taunting him, like, your old man and brother were stupid. They tried to stop me. They didn't. They asked you to put the knife down. And saying things like, you can't stay scared forever, Sarah, which, okay. I don't think she was afraid. Like, you're dead. You're supposed to be dead. Anyway, Ginger Dead Man leaves her mom's finger out so they see it. They look in the oven where her mom is being roasted. But the mom is actually fine, so it doesn't matter. The stakes are very low. The mom's fine. She did lose a finger, though. She's not dead. For whatever reason, Amos takes the mom out and leaves Sarah in the fucking oven, which allows the gingerbread man to close the oven door. And when Amos turns around to release her, the gingerbread man hits him with another fucking frying pan. Okay. So the guy with the gun's knocked out. Sarah's in the oven. It seems very dramatic. What's going to happen to Sarah? Well, Amos, who just got knocked out, has a moment of clarity. He wakes up momentarily, grabs his gun, shoots bullets into the door to the point where I was like, what is he doing? I thought he was supposed to be like trying to shoot the ginger dead man who's not there. And I was like, what? That's what releases Sarah, though. And then Amos goes back to being knocked out. He goes back to being unconscious after shooting the door, which releases Sarah. Thank goodness. Ginger dead man's making cracks about a sappy love story. It looks like Sarah's days are numbered, but then the pro wrestler shows up. James actually walked in at this point of the movie, and I actually let him watch the end because I was like, James, I've seen nothing even remotely offensive about this movie. Like, there's nothing happening, so I think it's fine for you to watch. Like, there's nothing here. There's no substance. There's no nudity. There's no violence, quite frankly. There's not a whole lot. And he just died laughing when the ginger man, when the wrestler shows up and the ginger dead man says, what the fuck? James like lost his mind. It was like, this movie seems pretty good. I was like, it's not. It's fucking terrible.
It's not, James.
You just watched the best part of this movie, and that's not an exaggeration. And the wrestler's here. He says, prepare to face the butcher, the baker tonight. Your ass is toast. Well, the ginger dead man has stolen the six shooter. It is a six shooter. It is a revolver with six rounds in it. This ginger man shoots 8,000 fucking bullets in this next scene. He's just shooting a gun constantly throughout this fucking scene. He's just a million bullets. And Icing Girl is alive. She's back. And she's not. She doesn't have icing on her anymore. She's fine. She has clothes, too. And also the mom is alive. They're all fine, actually. And they all leave the building together. But while that happens, the wrestler starts eating the ginger dead man. He's subdued him, and he starts eating him, and blood is pouring out of the ginger dead man. It's all over the wrestler's face. It's psychotic. And he says, got milk, which I am surprised they did not sue Charles Band.
I mean, nobody saw this movie that was involved with that legal campaign.
And then you hear the ginger dead man's voice say, save room for dessert because I'm coming back for you. Don't know what that means. The stakes are so fucking low at this point because everyone is alive. They only killed the two people next door, I guess because they were supposed to be really bad, but they really weren't that bad of people. So I don't think that they had to die. But the wrestler turns and is now possessed by the ginger dead man because they needed to string this movie out a little bit more.
I mean, it didn't. If that was going to happen, that's how it should have happened from the beginning. Because you could actually do something with this guy. He looks disgusting. He's more of a threat than the fucking gingerbread man.
Who, the mom drops off the ginger dead man cookie. The guy fucking eats it.
And then he gets possessed.
Yeah.
Because he is a threat. Because, I mean, we're supposed to be scared of this ginger dead man, the actual cookie, who just gets eaten the first chance that the guy has, right? Eaten. Yeah.
That's it.
Should have done it from the beginning.
And he says, time to finish our business. He's about to lay a kiss on Sarah with his blue tongue. I mean, he's just licking her. I don't know. But anyway, thankfully, our Jenko Jean hero shows up. Old Amos shows up, shoots him four times, but nothing happens. So you're like, oh, man, this guy might be indestructible. They just shove him in the oven very easily. They just kind of push him into the fucking oven, close the door, and burn him alive. Which is hilarious because that is also their friend Rick that they just fucking killed. Like, that was so crazy. There was no, end of the possession, and so the ginger dead man's soul is still around for a sequel. They just fucking kill Rick with Gary Busey's soul in there. This should be the end of the fucking franchise right there. And they murdered their fucking friend for it. Fucking crazy. R.I.P. Rick. That's the end.
R.I.P. Rick.
And the bakery reopens. They're back in business because their fucking rivals were murdered. Dude, the police would be so... Dude, the police would fucking... These people would be in jail forever.
Having to explain this to anybody?
You killed the rival people next door? And murdered your friend
and Rick. And your employee, yeah.
fucking nuts. But it's not. The bakery's doing great. Tons of people are showing up, including nurses who are like, dude, two women who work in the hospital show up and are like, thank you for your service to the bakers. Emergency responders thanking the bakers for their service. And they're like, oh, it's just part of the job. And Jenko dude is like slobbering all over Sarah. Amos is just over the food. It's honestly fucking repulsive. Like, she's like trying to serve and he's like groping her. It's fucking nuts. And then one of the nurses says, hey, some old lady dropped these off.
Yeah, his mom's back.
They open up the box and there's some gingerbread men that look like shit. And with googly eyes, I'm pretty sure glued on to them. And that's their eyes open and they're just googly eyes glued on to the gingerbread man. And that is the end of the ginger dead man.
Yes.
Hey, Joe, would you recommend this movie to anyone?
Absolutely not. Never. This sucks. No. I hate it. I'm glad that I never have to watch it again.
So, yeah, this is not a good movie. This is not a good movie. I am excited for next week, man. Next week, we finally are doing it. We are doing, what are we doing? We are doing Black Christmas 1974.
Thank God.
This was a short episode, man.
Thank God. It was, yeah.
It's nice. But if you're looking for more content, head over to patreon.com/IHateHorror because we did an hour-long bonus episode with a structure. So
with a structure, and it was fun.
It was,
and it was movie oriented, which is
all surprising.
We don't always do that, which is funny because we're a movie podcast. But yeah, check it out. Yeah. It was fun.
There's no horror movies listed in that list, but hey, that's what we're here for.
Fucking
here to open your eyes to. Open your eyes to things like Ernest Saves Christmas as one of the greatest of all time Christmas films ever made. That's so
indisputable fact.
Absolutely. So next week we got Black Christmas and then Dead End from 2003. And at some point we will do a live show in between.
Yes.
So keep your eyes peeled for that. Patreon.com/IHateHorror. As I mentioned, IHateHorror.com. The store is down for the moment. We do have some things coming up, things in the works that might change. So we got to wait a little bit to see what happens. And then the store will be back up. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Anything else? Facebook.com/IHateHorror and at Instagram @IHateHorror. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, Boogdish1985. Also check out All Documented, All True's Instagram page. It's the title with underscores after each one.
So, okay, wait. So is that, that's a real page? Like, is that your page? Who made
that's
that?
Me.
I meant to ask. Yeah. Oh, you picked the hardest fucking name to fucking promote the
fuck. It's the name thought it was of a our show.
I thought it was a listener's thing. I thought it was a listener like dedicated it to us. Like a listener.
I mean, I could change the name. What do you want to change to?
I don't know.
It's the name
something,
of the
something
show.
That we can say.
It's all documented, all true, with underscores after each word.
Rolls off the fucking tongue. I don't know. We'll think of something. Okay, so that's a real fucking page. Okay, I kept meaning to ask you about it. Hang on, I'll add it.
Everything I post is fact, so don't give me any shit. It's real, and I believe it all wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. So check that out. And
also check out All Documented, All True on Patreon.
Patreon. That's what I thought you were going to say. On Patreon, yes. We did the episode on, was the most recent one, The Mothman? Yeah.
Yes. Mothman.
So that's our most recent one that's out right now.
Yes. On Patreon. We got one. We're recording Tuesday.
Okay, good. And then That's it. That's it, folks. So I feel like I'm struggling to end this for some reason. Black Christmas next week.
Adios.
And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
Movies all fucking day.
I wanna play.
I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch.
A fucking zombie getting sliced and diced.
The monster.